views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Handle Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I am David. Dave from L.A., looking forward to having a live show for you all today. Today is June the 1st, 2018, and we definitely have a live show lined up for you all. Looking forward to that. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, please definitely don't hesitate. Do that. Give us a call at 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Would love to hear from you all. Very, very important. So look forward to having a conversation with you today and being a part of our show. All right? So that's the number. Everyone, please continue to support the Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are a little out of breath, was running around, getting a little workout in before starting Tando Radio Show, so excuse me. But, hey, support Black Talk Radio Network. You could easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And once you're there, check out the whole website, but definitely hit the donation prompt so that we could actually have this network growing and continuing to do what it's been doing so well in the past, and can expand that into a further and further into the future. So this network is not receiving any corporate sponsorship. It only is able to make it and to survive off of the contributions made by the listeners who this network was actually created for. So if you would please give a donation to this network, Black Talk Radio Network, hit the donation prompt that's there, and and we will be able to continue to have what we need going forward. In my opinion, that's critical, especially for the world that we currently live in. So you could do that. Also, you could support the network via You can support the network via BTR Community, which is the social media platform that Black Talk Radio Network has put together for your social media activities, so that you could do that in a more safe and holistic way without being as adversely affected. And that you can find that at www.btrcommunity, or you can also find it on the website of Black Talk Radio Network. Join for $24 a year. That's not a monthly subscription, not a quarterly subscription. It's a yearly subscription or membership of $24 a year. And right now, there is a 30-day free trial so that you can familiarize yourself with the platform. It's the only place that I post So please, that supports this network. So if you would, be a part of BTR community and become a member. That will actually give some financial support to this network as well. Okay? So, and we're going to, in my opinion, we definitely need this platform and everything that's provided for by this platform. So just wanted to say that to you all. One second, let me pull up some things here. So, all right. Also, if you would like to be a part of the upcoming seminar with Legacy Wealth Management, then don't hesitate. You could text me at 951-790-8330, or you could actually email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. wolf6pack1@gmail.com is the place where you can actually email me about the Legacy Wealth Management seminar that's going to be happening on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of this month, next weekend. During that time, I will not be able to have a show on that Friday because I will be busy with clients and getting things squared away for the seminar. So definitely want you all to engage in that as well. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals company where you can exchange your cash for real money. Very important going forward. We may touch on some of that today. So that's some of the administrative things that we have, and we're going to get into what's in the news. And today's show is As the World Turns Against You. Is the name of today's show for June the 1st, 2018. And we'd love to hear from some of you. Give us a call. And that number is 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the actual call-in number to this network where you can express some of your comments, your thoughts, questions, concerns, whatever it is that you may have, gripes. You could all do it there. Call in, and we will see you, and definitely want to hear from you all. So I wanted to say, let me get set up here. Please bear with me. I need to get into the chat room so I can see the board, and then we'll get going with today's show. So it's a Friday. For many, it was a short week, and I appreciate it being a Friday because, you know what, y'all? I really do need to get some rest. And I plan on definitely doing that this weekend, but I know that that's not going to happen. There's a bunch of stuff I need to do. I need to do some gardening. I got to do some moving and just rearranging. So, man, you know, never ever fail. So, got things I got to do, and I know I need to take a rest and a break. And to regenerate myself. Oh, I will I believe it's coming up relatively soon. There may be a Monday and a Tuesday that won't be on air. I will let you know. I definitely know it is definitely going to happen. I believe it's the 16th of June. Well, I won't be able to have the show, so I'll try to get someone to actually have the show, or Scotty will carry the show from there. I just wanted to give you all a heads up and let you all know that. All right, so let's jump into I'm in the chat room. Big ups to everyone that's in the chat room. OG, definitely see you there in... Scotty posted some stuff. That one website, got you, Scotty. Yeah, so definitely. Okay, so definitely want to move into the show. So we're going to jump in. Okay, cool. So we are going to jump into... What's in the news? First article from What's in the News. I got this from Sputnik News. India will continue to stick to S-400 deal despite U.S. opposition. And the S-400 deal is the actual ballistic missile intercepting technology that Russia has, the S-200, S-300, S-400. And the U.S. does not want India to have the S-400 buying weaponry from Russia. What did India say? Shoot, you out your mind. That's because I'm telling you, y'all, everything is moving against the U.S. All of its former allies. There will be very few allies, if any at all. I think probably the last ally, and I had said years ago that India is very, very important. Which way will India go? Now we're showing that India has definitely moved hard, made a hard turn from the U.S. And probably one of the last is going to probably be Japan. But that may actually, that has, just by them being a part of AIIB, being offered the founder's position with some of the other countries, that may have already started too. So check out that article. Next article I got from RT International, Biobots on the Horizon, as scientists merge muscle cells with metallic skeleton. Check out that article. Next article. This is from Reuters. Moment of truth arrives for EU after U.S. tariff strike. A lot of this is going in very, very significant. So check out that article we posted. Next article, Rise posted this one from Bloomberg.com. Outrage over U.S. steel tariffs set up to split over, outrage over U.S. steel tariffs set to split, spill over into G7 meeting. And I'm going to tell you something about the G7. They broke, y'all. Without Germany, G7 is broke. It says the global financial chief of the United States' closest allies are promising to give the celebrity figurehead Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, that's what I call him, an earful this week after the Trump administration imposed steel and aluminum duties that sparked swift trade response. The whole world, this is the purge, y'all, and I definitely expect this to simmer down before it explodes again into further, and it's going to, right now, a fault, this is all the conditions are there for a false flag, majorly, so check out that article. Next article, I got this one from Business Insider. North Korea reportedly wants to throw a party with South Korea to celebrate the inter-Korean talk. The reunification, y'all. There it is. Check that out. Next article, this one got from RT International. Kim repeats commitment to Korean Peninsula denuclearization after letter from Putin. And in my opinion, that means that the U.S. has to go. That's the whole denuclearization that's there. Next article from Natural News. Very, very important one. Psychodrugs. America, more than 8 million children now on mind-altering psych meds, psychiatric medications. As more children are being prescribed psychiatric drugs for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, misuse is also on the rise, prompting experts to question why so many kids are being told they need psychiatric drugs in the first place. The journal Pediatrics reports that Poison Control Center, and that's where the sub stopped, very, very important article because this is all a setup. And in my opinion, I'm going to come back and touch on this as the world turns against you. That's some of the things that this is all about. We need to know. Also, Rod posted this one from the anti-media. Syria will get rid of the U.S. troops by force if necessary. Check out that article. Next article from Rod got this from the anti-media. What's a life worth in America? $4. Oops, scratch that. 4 cents. And what is being called the most racist jury award in history? A Florida jury's decided there was really no problem with cops shooting and killing Gregory Von Hill Jr. in 2014 because he was playing his music too loud in his own garage while drunk. Wow. Check out that article. Next article, I got this from Veterans Today. It says, is Crown Prince Salam's death being covered up? That's what Veterans Today, and remember they had the coup attempt in Riyadh early last month, and there was speculation that that MBS may have been killed. Crown Prince MBS may have been killed. So check out that article that's there. And then next article I got from RT International. Protests meet U.S. military convoy streaming through Europe, preparing for war. Dozens of U.S. military convoys will be hogging European roadways this week as a part of an exercise designed to improve transportation logistics on the continent in case of a war. Check out that article. Next article from The Sun. Saudi Arabia releases a video to prove the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is alive after assassination and coup rumors. Check out that article. I don't know, but significant either way, especially if that did happen. And if it did happen, it'll come out soon enough. Next article, this one came from Wolf Street. For new money only, banks fight for deposits. But if you don't jump through hoops, you'll get punishment rates. Check out that article that was there. Next article I got from Business Insider. Morgan Stanley is using robots to scour its clients' social media profiles. This is why you got to get off of Fedbook. All to better convince them not to panic when the market goes haywire. Exactly. Morgan Stanley is using artificial intelligence to write emails to wealthy clients when the market goes haywire, gleaning information from social media and other sources. The emails will include personal information to make them appear like a human being wrote it, like a human wrote it. Oh, the setup. It's all going to crash, y'all. Next article, I got this from Press TV. EU-China resolve to preserve the Iranian deal. This is the purge, y'all. This is the purge. So, next article, Raj posted this one from the anti-media. Assad threatens forces against the U.S. backed by forces. Excuse me. Assad threatens forces against U.S. backed forces. Check out that article. Next article, Raj got this one from South China Morning Post. Trump's team doesn't know what it wants from North Korea. Check out that article. Next article, Raj got also from South China Morning Post. Trump Kim talk still not confirmed, but progress, and it was confirmed, so they're going to do it anyhow. Next article, very important one from Wall Street Journal. U.S. terrorists prompt anger, retaliation from trade allies. This is the purge, y'all. Major, major, major. Next article, Raj posted this from Ask a Prepper. How to make a fruit leather and add it to your stockpile. Check out that article from Raj. Good one there. So those are some of the articles that we have there. And also Raj posted do-it-yourself chicken tunnel, step-by-step guide from Ask Prepper and 10 lessons from the Great Depression. Raj posted there. So, and then I posted the last one from Cerebrally Naive Money, CNN Money. Trump is starting a global trade war. The European Union, Canada, and Mexico said Thursday they will respond to new U.S. Tariffs on steel and aluminum with punitive measures targeting America's products worth billions of dollars. This is what is going to be used to stage the whole purge and the divestment of the United States by all foreign entities, and they're going to align themselves outside of the spectrum in overall space of the U.S. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to have you all. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. You know, I got a quick chance to talk to Jenna and Raj yesterday after the show. Jenna, there was a question that you had, and forgive me for forgetting it. We talked about it quickly. But if you would, if you can, Jenna or Raj, if you could come up and ask that question, because I think it's really good for our listeners for that question that was asked yesterday in our conversation that we had. When you get a chance, definitely chime in to go from there. Okay? All right. So let me see. There's a couple other things. That was about it. Man, there was one other thing. Okay, yeah, I got to find this for today's show, and then we will get going. So we'd love to hear from you all on today. We'd greatly appreciate it. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. It's a Friday. If there's some things that we talked about during the week that you would like to talk about or to discuss or to comment on, we'd love to hear from you all. If you didn't get a chance to comment earlier in the week because of time constraints or whatever, then now would be a great time for that. So let me just get ourselves situated here. And today's show is As the World Turns Against You. And that is basically meaning that the world is actually actively right now as we speak. Moving to see that the U.S. protectivism means colonization, and it means that the U.S. Is invoking its will on the different countries to the U.S.'s benefit, and the rest of the world has been the burden bearers of that for many years since the U.S. dropped two nuclear devices, and since the Bretton Woods deciding that the U.S. currency will be the reserve currency, and since the petrodollars was put into place. And that meant that everyone else was being exploited by the United States to their benefit, the U.S.'s benefit. And the general... And the general idea of that was to make the U.S. the empire of envy by allowing it to have a facade of wealth from taking what was not rightfully theirs, what was not owed or what was not due. And they got so good with it that they also did it to you. Every person here as well. Whenever people say that they have civil rights, you're absolutely right. What means that you have given up all of your primary and absolute rights so that the U.S. government can exploit you. That's what civil rights mean. It doesn't mean that it was a progressive movement for black people at all. It was just the reverse. Why would those that would invoke and to construct and constitute enslavement, why would you ever think that they was going to do anything other than what was profitable for them and before in the past? Because they said, gave you some fancy words and gave a distraction, gave a protest that was sanctioned by them and permits that were signed by them, permission was given, all that stuff, and put it on TV so that knowing that that would totally deceive you to think exactly what they want you to think and not think for yourself.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, you're gonna have to break this down for me, because we're not on the same page on civil rights. Let me read the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and this is a generalization of it. It was enacted July the 2nd, 1964, landmark civil rights and U.S. labor law in the United States that outlaws discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. Now, we know the history of how non-white people have been subjugated, not just slavery, but even the right. free black colonists, where there's institutional racism, their basic human rights being ignored. So what I'm not understanding is, now, I get the point that the United States passes laws and don't enforce them and ignore them. But what I'm not getting is that when Dr. King and them asked for these civil rights on U.S. labor law, which I could also say, hey, it's respect my human rights. Don't discriminate against me because of the color of my skin or whatever religion I practice or because I'm a woman or because I come from another country. How is that giving up? How is that giving up anything when it's just outlawing something? Help me understand that.
Yeah, great question, Scotty, and I definitely will. And the key is that we're going to, and I'm going to post it. Give me a second here, Scotty. Let me try to get my overall savviness together with. Let me see if I can.
Because I don't understand what their alternative would be. You know, I don't understand what the alternative would be. Now, we have to also realize that Dr. King and Malcolm X and others moved beyond civil rights and then start pushing for human rights. Again, I understand the United Nations is a white supremacist because of who controls it. The European nations and primarily the United States does it. And yeah, we have some good pronouncements coming out the UN, but they ain't doing nothing to stop the United States from all mm-hmm. the evil that it does in the world. So I get that. But we also, I feel like, have to understand that these people had to do something with all the lynching, all the property being stolen. And that's all they knew to do was to ask for protections under the law.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do, Scotty, yes, but the whole thing that I'm going to show here is that was the picture that was being painted, but that wasn't the true objective of what was being done. A part of those things were active sabotage, and they were actually being carried out. They were true acts that were happening, but they were false flags. They were actually put in the place so that people wouldn't know exactly what was actually happening, and so that the overall system could come up with the narrative of the solution of the problem that they created.
What
and the reason
flags?
Why I'm saying that is that when we – let me just pull this up.
While you're pulling that up, when you mm-hmm. say false flags, I do know false flags exist. Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, other false flags all throughout the history. But I can't think of mm-hmm. any false flags that was happening collectively to black and non-white people. People were being lynched. The buildings were being burnt
right.
down. And just all the oppression, you know, that was really happening.
Right. Right, and yes, all of those were being actually put into place. So what I'm going to do, here it is. Let me grab this right here.
And if you could share it in the chat with us so we can, you know, have it for ourselves as well.
Yeah, I'm going to put it inside of the chat room.
Did you get Jenna's call? I'm sorry. I just came back. I was taking care of something in the house. And I just came uh-huh. back to the board. I see Jenna's unmuted. I don't know if he had a question or comment or if you already got it.
He probably just chimed in. Hold on 1 second. Let me get this up. Let me get this up real quick. 1 second, Jenna, and I'll get to you in a sec. So, yes, Scotty, and we'll talk about that. But let me get to Jenna. Jenna, go ahead, and then we're going to get back to Scotty's question about civil rights because it all plays into what's happening right now. Absolutely right. But here's the thing, and we're going to get into that. The actual those that benefited from civil rights, they were the ones that orchestrated, created it, constituted it for their same original objective of subjugating and enslaving people. And I'll show you what I mean by that. And so they were carrying out a clandestine operation against our community and against and it was really against everyone at large. And see, what they did was they just spiced it up, making people think that it was something that was beneficial, but it was the worst thing that's ever happened. Instead of it being the best thing, it was the worst thing for us. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that in 1 second here. I have it, but I want to go to Jenna and then get to that, and then I will come back to what Scotty was alluding to and why this whole thing was a complete operation. In my understanding, Dr. King started to find out what they were really doing, and he was completely disturbed about it. And this is why they wanted him to actually commit suicide, because part of Dr. King's past was that he was a massive depressant, and they knew what buttons to push and everything else. And so, but we're going to get to that in a second. Let me get to Jenna real quick, and then we'll go to that. Jenna, what's going on, bro?
Greetings. How are you doing this afternoon, Dave?
My brother, what's up, man?
My question, just getting to the question that you asked me. My question yesterday was when we be talking about this, everybody doesn't understand. And just like Scotty was just saying, as far as getting on the same page so that we could be on the same page to be able to formulate whatever questions or reasoning mm-hmm. that we put with some of the stuff that you say. I didn't say it all like that, but the first thing popped in my head.
right.
Can you start doing that when you're explaining this stuff, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page? That's what my question was. Is when you explain this stuff, a lot of us don't mm-hmm. be able. A lot of us are not aware of everything that's going on outside of what we have learned here on Tando. So when you discuss these things without getting into your personal relationships or your business relationships, can you explain it a little bit deeper so that we could be on the same wavelength?
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's very, very important. So let me see. 1 second. Here we go. All right, so what I'm going to post here. And yes, Jenna, I will, because that's very, very important, and I will make sure. And if I don't do that, hey, always, always, always just, you know, let me know. Scotty, I posted inside of finduslaw.com, Civil Rights Act of 1866, Civil Rights Act of 1871, and 1981, 1983, and 88, the different versions of that. And that's very, very important. I want everyone, and I'm going to post that also inside of.
Okay, I am aware of all of those, because I do read a whole lot. I know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Y'all have to leave your home to go to work. Fortunately, I don't have to. So therefore, I have more free time to read. So I read a lot. But I've always had an inquisitive mind. For example, I'm very familiar with the Civil Rights Act of 1871, which was also known as the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871,
right.
which Ulysses S. Grant used against the Ku Klux Klan to have, because there was no law against that racial terrorism. Well, there was, okay, but he felt like he wanted federal legislation to go after the Klan, which he did by having what they call it grand juries, which they would usually impanel black jurors who would indict these
right.
people, and he nearly destroyed the Klan with that act. But then after him came Woodrow Wilson, and there's been 9 and 4. The Klan Act is still on the book. The Civil Rights Act is still
on the
book.
Yes.
But as this organization, Coalition for Social Justice here in North Carolina, who I've had a relationship in the past, they the ones who told me it's still on the books, but it's just not being enforced.
Right. This just like all laws, they, once a law goes on the books, they're never going to take it off. They're going to use it to their advantage. And this, and I'm going to tell you, they write the letter of the law to contradict and to take what the spirit of the law wants, is the purpose of the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is the sustaining energy of life. The letter of the law is the controlling subjugation and dominion of life. Man uses the letter of the law to enslave, to condemn. That's why it says to condemn. Condemn you to what? A lifelong mortgage of bondage that can never be paid off. So inside of Tando, I posted this one. I posted this in the chat room. So let's take a look at this. This comes from Fine U.S. Law. I just picked that one from there. It says Civil Rights Act of 1866. And what Scotty said was absolutely right. Civil Rights Act of 1871. So 1866, see, they've been trying to invoke the civil rights since then. And Simon P. Chase, who Chase Bank is named after, he didn't own Chase Bank. This all goes back to them. He was supposedly an abolitionist, but see, that was the celebrity ship that he was doing. But behind closed doors and behind the scenes, he was actually working with the bankers to subjugate and enslave everybody. And he did such a good job in creating the greenbacks that the one of the most prolific banks in America named their bank after him. Chase Bank. And he was the Secretary of Treasury for Lincoln. Okay? All of this stuff plays into, because this was the time that the bankers, and that was the global bankers, mainly out of London, that was trying to subjugate everyone around the world and to get them under their standard of economics. So here it is. Let's read this real quickly. And this is, it says, Section 42, U.S. Code, USC 21, 1981, 1981A, 1983, and 1988. Those are the subdivisions. And they're broke down for Title 42, U.S. Code, Chapter 21, Civil Rights. Title 42, the Public Health and Welfare, Chapter 21, Civil Rights, and these are the sections. 1981 is equal rights under the law. 1981A is damages in case of international discrimination in employment. 1983 is civil rights for depravity of rights. 1988 is processing and vindicating of civil rights. So let's go to the first section. Section 1. Well, the first section, 1981, it says equal rights under the law. This was redacted after the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but it was still in play then, because it just shows the real determination of the Civil Rights Act and why I definitely think and believe that Dr. King was having such a massive problem, because they wanted him to stay on civil rights, and he says no, because that's the trick, but he couldn't say it. He just started to divert his attention somewhere else.
Hey, Dave, that's not meaning the year 1981. That's the code. That's the code.
That's the code, yeah.
That's not the
year. That's the code, 1981. Right, that is the code of 1981. And then it's 1981
1983 and 1988. Right, Scotty. It's 42 U.S. Code Statute 1981. But just real quick, Dave, yes, there was a psychological program against Dr. King run by J. Edgar Hoover. They was trying to get him to kill himself. They was also trying to blackmail him because, there are no perfect human beings, and Dr. King was cheating on his wife. and they did have recordings of him cheating on his wife, so they tried to blackmail with him on that. But that's before these laws were put into place. That was to get him to stop what he was doing. And in terms of...
They wanted him to stay on civil rights.
Well, wait a minute. On civil rights, this is what Dr. King said about it. And because I hear a lot of people talk about this, Dr. King said that we were integrating into a burning house. That's not what he meant, though.
Right.
When you look at the entire... And I actually published an article about it not that long ago, because you had Harry Belafonte, who was in that conversation with Dr. King when he said that. But a lot of people just take that one sentence and take it out of context of what he was saying. Because they said, Belafonte was recently asked by a reporter for NPR, well, after all of this civil rights movement and we still don't have equality and still facing racial terrorism, what's left for black people to do? He said, it's time to burn it down. So what Dr. King was saying, when I pulled up the entire conversation, what he was saying, I fear we're integrating into a burning house, was that these people, although we got these laws in place, they ain't sincere, and they not going to enforce it, and they're not going to treat people right, and we're going to have more riots, and black America is going to burn it down. That's what he was saying when he said, we fear that we're integrating to a burning house. He was talking about black people setting it on fire because they weren't going to stop practicing racism. That's the context of that conversation.
And the whole law of the civil rights was flawed, completely flawed. And I'm going to show you where it is flawed. It's plain. It's just right here in equal rights under the law. And it can't be disputed at all, at all. It shows what the true intent, because the devil is always in the details. So if we go to section 1981, equal rights under the law, it says statement of equal rights. Here's what it says. All persons within the jurisdiction of the United States shall have the same rights in every state territory to make and enforce contract, to sue, be party, give evidence, and to the full and equal benefit of all laws and proceedings for the security of persons and property as it is enjoyed by white citizens, and shall be subject to, listen to this, and shall be subject to like punishments, pains, penalties, taxes, license, and exactions of every kind, and to no other. Stop right there. What they're basically were saying is that they're going to be subjugating and enslaving white people, and they're going to be subjugating and enslaving black people equally. And this is what the government's intent is, because what they said is here, check this out. It says, full and equal benefits under all laws and proceedings for the security of persons and property as enjoyed by white citizens, and shall be subject to like punishments, pains, penalties, taxes, and licenses, and exactions of every kind. Who's going to bring the punishment? They are. Who's going to bring the pain? They are. Who's going to bring the penalties? They are. Who's going to bring the taxation? They are. Who's going to bring the requirements for licensing? Basically, the fix, so that they can fix where you can't be in business without paying them first. And exactions of every kind. This word exactions is overlooked, and it is the overall death knell to the Civil Rights Act itself. It proves that the Civil Rights Act was the worst thing that ever happened to us, because very few of us understand what the legal word of exaction means.
Well, Dave, I will retort that was already happening to black people. That was already, like, you weren't allowed to vote, but you were forced to pay taxes, taxation without representation. All of that was already, you already had to get a business license. Black businesses was never allowed to operate without paying the state for a license or the city for the, all of that was happening before the civil rights, but it was being applied, right. it was being applied racially against us. We were being extrajudicially lynched and what have you. But I would submit this to you. If I go out there and I harm another individual, I should be punished just like a white person should be punished. There should be equal punishment under the law. There should be equal exactions under the law. If I go
stop right there, Scotty. Whoa, Scotty, stop right there. Everything you said was right up until that point. Let me finish this. Let me tell you what the word exactions mean, because it's actually that word nullifies the whole civil rights. Exactions is what nullifies everything. The word exactions is older than the Bible itself. The word exactions, you can find it
I just pulled up
Sun
the definition.
Tzu, Art of War.
Here's the definition. And I just posted it in the chat room.
Well, no. But let me give the definition. Exaction is a tort. There's a misdemeanor and a felony and a tort. And exaction means this, and this is what nullifies the whole thing. Exaction is a willful wrong done by an officer or by one who, under the color of the of his office. An exaction is what is not taking, what is not owed, or what is not due. It is a willful wrong. So what that means is that under the law, and when they put here and they said exactions of every kind, that means that the government can do a willful wrong to you at any time. Their intention is to do a willful wrong to you, not to have you equally punished with anybody else, not to have equality with everything else, but for them to subjugate and enslave you of every kind with your children, of every kind with your business, of every kind with your energy. By that word being put into place in the Bible, it says, biblically in Deuteronomy, it says that once you have a king, you will be subject to their exactions, meaning that they're taking from you what is not owed or due. They are going to make you their slave. That is a
but that was before the civil rights, Dave. That was before civil rights legislation was passed. That was happening to black people.
Right, Scotty, but what the significance of this is that it nullifies the civil rights as being anything other than a doctrine of enslavement.
I do not see it that way. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to agree to disagree, because the exaction that I'm looking at is the formal action of demanding and obtaining something from someone, especially a payment for service. For example, I had this dude who contracted with Black Talk Media Project for service. Then when I did the service for him, he didn't want to pay. So he gonna say to PayPal that, oh, this is fraudulent. Somebody took my card and these are fraudulent charges, which would have been a ding against my account on PayPal. I could have lost my account after you get so many dings like that. So we had to go through arbitration. Luckily, I saved all the emails of us discussing the service, what the price of the service was, and we went to arbitration with PayPal, and they ruled in my favor, and he had to pay me. They exacted that money because he owed that money to me, okay? In terms of, like it was talking about, suing somebody. When I worked for this corporation, and the vice president, this white man, was sexually harassing every black woman up in there. And I saw him do it. And then he gave a porno tape to this other black woman. She sued him. Okay, she sued the company because of what he did. They called me to give a deposition or in a legal proceeding to give testimony. And I testified to everything that I saw truthfully. So they had to pay that woman. I don't know how much money she got, but they had to pay her that money. Now, prior to it being codified into law that she could sue for sexual harassment, we know black women was being raped by their employers, were being brutalized, and they had no legal recourse to take anybody to court. So I'm just going to agree to disagree, okay? I'm going to agree to disagree.
Scotty, it's not really a disagreement thing, because exaction is sometimes is commonly referred as misunderstood as extortion, and that's not what exaction is. If you go to the legal definition of exactions, you could go to the Ballantine Law Book, and if you go to the Ballantine Law Book, and if you look up the word exactions, and like I said, this word has been around for a very, very, very long time before the Bible and it goes back. It was actually, I forget where it was actually created. Exactions by the Ballantine Law Dictionary, third edition, is an excessive or unauthorized taking or collection of money or fees or dues by an officer or by a person to be perceived to be an officer. An excessive demand, an amount demanded and taken without right. So that's why, by that word, by the legal definition of exactions.
Well, I'm going to tell you why that doesn't apply to this, because you have to look at the rest of the bill, because right after that, it says Section 1981A, damages in cases of intentional discrimination in employment, right of recovery in an action brought by a complaining party under Section 706 or 717 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 against a respondent who engaged in unlawful intentional discrimination, not an employment practice that is unlawful because it is disparate impact prohibited under Section. They give a whole bunch of codes, and provided that the complaining party cannot recover under Section 1981 of this title, the complaining party may recover compensatory and punitive damages as allowed in subsection B of this section, in addition to any relief authorized by Section 706G of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 from the respondent. So words, and I think me and Jerry was just talking about this the other night. There are words that have several different meanings, that have several different definitions. In context, the context meaning the rest of the information or the conversation or whatever's being discussed is what implies the definition. What you're talking about, exaction, it is, I would say, maybe Otis can help me out on this one. It's why you have a movement against bail reform and all of these people who are being put into jail, forced to be in jail giving them high bails that they can't afford to pay. And since they can't afford to pay them, they're forced to sit in jail, and many of them are losing everything. I look at that as the exaction under the definition that you're talking about in terms of this 1964 Civil Rights Act. I look at it under the other definition in terms of being able to attain something from someone. Attain something from who? The person who wronged you. So, you know, great to dialogue with you on that. I just haven't come to the same conclusion as you have.
Yeah, and that's cool, but what I'm saying is that the exaction that's put under statement of equal rights is saying that you're subject to exactions of every kind. And that exactions that they're talking about is the tort, not a misdemeanor, not a felony. It's a willful wrong, a willful wrong. This statement is telling you that the government can do a willful wrong to you. And it says a willful wrong of every kind. Of every kind, meaning that the government and that everyone, when you proclaim your civil rights, what happens is that you lose the ability to use your absolute and primary rights, because civil rights now allows you to have the civil rights that is written by them that excludes them and allows them in agreement, and they didn't put the word contract in there by mistake, because a contract has to have consideration. So there is a contract that They are saying that, hey, we have exactions of every kind. And when you proclaim your civil rights, you are saying that you are agreeing that they can have exactions against you of every kind. It has nothing to do with extortions. That's not the exactions that they're talking about. That's not what this is all about. That's extortion and exactions is two different things, because in order to have exactions, you have to have an officer of the law. You have to have the government itself or someone that is trying to portray themselves as that. That's what the legal definition of it is in Ballantyne's, and has been that way for years, the Black Law Dictionary. It is when the government is actually taking from you what is not owed and due. What is not owed and due? They're taking your labor, and they're not giving you rightful payment to it. When you think that you're getting civil rights, what you're actually getting is the government's heavy-handedness and their shrewdness in their asymmetrical approach to subjugating and enslaving you even further. This is why this statement is above everything else, and then the other ones do not nullify exactions of every kind. It is the hidden clause, and once they put that into the civil rights bill, this is why Alexander Haig said, let them protest all they want as long as they pay their taxes. Why are they saying that? Because taxation is completely illegal. Taxes is paid to a private organization, the IRS. That is not a federal part of the federal government at all. It's a part of the Federal Reserve. And so by doing that, they come up with all of these shrewd, cunning, asymmetrical objectives. And civil rights was one of the things. That's why they pushed it so much. That's why they put it on the TV. That's why they programmed it so deeply in us in schools and everything else, because that was validating their stronghold over our people, because they didn't want people to be self-determination and self-determined and sovereign. So I understand what you're saying, Scotty, like you said, agree to disagree, but that word exactions can mean nothing other than what that legal definition is, and it can never be overlooked. It is the most important thing when it comes to civil rights, because what it did is it tainted civil rights to what they really wanted it to be. It wasn't a measure of giving something that was equal or equal rights. See, their equal rights is that we enslave everybody.
That's what the 13th Amendment does, Dave. And that's what we say on New Abolitionist Radio. And
this is another attachment to the 13th Amendment.
Yeah,
this is how they come up with everything.
I simply don't agree with that, Dave. But the 13th Amendment, we tell you that for the first time in law, they were saying you can enslave white people, because the 13th Amendment is not color-coded. Okay, it's not. It says involuntary servitude and slavery has been abolished except as punishment for crime whereof the person has been duly convicted. So that applies to everybody.
Yeah, it does apply to everybody, but their overall reasoning for doing it is to subjugate everybody. So hey, Scotty, I got it, but I know with that word, that legal meaning is, by going back to it, it's there. It's there in black and white for us to see. The 13th Amendment exactions has been around before the 13th Amendment was even put into practice.
Yeah, Dave, but so I've used this law personally. I forgot to add that. I've used this law personally to sue an employer where I was laid off and all the white boys was called back, because it was seasonal work, and I was not called back. So I filed a complaint at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. They came in, they did an investigation, and they ruled in my favor. This was done under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But we do need to take our break.
What was that, Scotty?
I said we are at the top of the hour. I want to take the break, and I think Mel wants to chime in.
Yeah, we got a couple of callers that are in queue, and we'll go to them. But yeah, that word exaction is significant. So we'll come back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back in 1 minute and 2 seconds.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number is 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. We got a caller in queue, wanted to go to the caller that's in queue. We got Mel that's in queue. What up, Mel? What's going on? What say you?
Peace, brother, peace.
Peace, Tando family. Happening?
What is? Who are you? What has gotten into you today? You killing it, brother.
Come on.
You killing it. Listen, I just had a couple of quick questions, but before I do, I wanted to ask you a question. If I am interpreting this right, now with Scotty's scenario, with the guy that with the PayPal, offered a service and didn't pay for it, you got felony misdemeanor, then you got tort. So the tortious act was actually him. When he called PayPal and lied and said it was fraud, that was the tortious act. Am I wrong?
Well, this is what a tort is. And it's very, very important, because when you look up the word exactions, it's actually a tort. It's a willful wrong. So in the Civil Rights Act, the government had put a willful wrong in. And this is what a tort. Let's say you're a painter. And then you go to paint at your house, Mel, and then you put on top of your ladder, you have a bucket of paint, and you have children running around. No, you didn't have a criminal intention, right, to hurt a child. But if that child runs by that ladder, and because of your negligence, the paint falls on that child's head, you didn't commit a misdemeanor, you didn't commit a felony. What you did was you committed a tort. You created an environment that was going to be a willful wrong, or it was going to be a neglectful situation that you were going to hurt or harm someone.
That's why when
the U.S. government put exactions into the civil rights in the actual summary of the subject of civil rights, when they put that word there, they were invoking that they were going to the statement of equal rights. When they put that in the statement of equal rights, they actually created a tort against every single person in the world, in the country, because they intentionally put that there so that the paint would fall on people's head.
Hey, Mel, what happened was actually what he did was a crime, according to PayPal, by lying on me like that.
Yeah, he did do a crime.
Because they told me to call the FBI and report him, but I was not going to be responsible for a black person being put into slavery. So, I won my case, I left it at that.
I'm sorry to cut you off, brother, but one more quick statement before I ask my real quick question. When you keep speaking of the 13th Amendment, the 13th Amendment never applied to us. It didn't, because it only applied for citizens. We weren't considered citizens until the 14th Amendment. So the 13th Amendment had nothing to do with us. That was just a little quick tidbit. But my question is, when you said the law of the letter and the spirit of the letter, are you speaking maritime law versus law of the land, or, you know, the fiction? When mm-hmm. you say the spirit of, okay, so there's a difference between.
No, I'm just saying, I'm hearing you. I didn't say yes. Sorry about that, Mal. I was just saying, okay, I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So does that mean that there's definitely a difference between legal and lawful?
Yes.
That's my question. I'll mute my mind. Thank you for taking my call, brother.
Yes. Now, when it comes to the 13th Amendment, Scotty is the one that you definitely want to ask that question to.
I will answer it real quick. The 13th Amendment does not say anything about citizens. It says everything subject to their jurisdiction. So if you're in the United States or any of its colonies that it rules by the barrel of the gun, you are in their jurisdiction that they're claiming, and therefore, yes, they were applying it to everybody. That's what it said. It don't say citizens. It says
right.
under their jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction. And Scotty's absolutely right there, because under the Statement of Equal Rights, it says all persons within the jurisdictions of the United States shall have. So that's right there. And but when you asked about the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, now, this is the best way that I like to explain the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. The letter of the law is what the book has on file that's been written by man. And everything that man has done and gives you is actually taken through ubiquitous fraud. So they write laws that actually condemn you. They write laws for you to break them so that they can penalize you, because the penalty validates their existence. Okay? So the spirit of the law and the letter of the law is two different things. The spirit of the law, man can never write, because it's outside of man's hands. This is the spirit of the law. Whenever you, let's say somebody that is on some form of drugs and they get on a building, they think that they can fly and they jump off the building and they go straight to the ground. See, what happened was they were induced by a drug that made them violate the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law says that you can't fly unless you are able to defy gravity like the birds. The spirit of the law is the law that the great creator has put into place. I also said it this way. The letter of the law says that you can walk across the street when you have the right light, when you have the walk signal inside of the crosswalk. You walk across the street because the letter of the law says that you have the right of way. But let a car hit you, and then you're going to come into realization that there's a big difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Because after that 2,000-pound car runs you over, you're going to realize that you had the right of way, but you violated the spirit of the law of physics. Your overall physical form could not stop the overall momentum and energy and force and mass of that 2,000-pound car. So you violated the spirit of the law. And I'm going to say it's always better to be aware of the spirit of the law, because man is writing the letter of the law to deceive you to go against the spirit of the law, and you always are going to lose. You're always going to lose. So that's when I talk about the spirit of the law, I'm not talking about maritime or admiralty law or anything else. All of that is the letter of the law. It is all the letter of the law. The letter of law has been put into place so that a king can rule. The letter of the law has been put into place so that government, the fraternal order of governments, have authority and have an influence in your life. They still cannot defy the spirit of the law, but they don't want you to be beholden to that, because then that means that you'll walk away from their letter of the law. That's why the letter of the law is always to condemn. So that's what I mean about the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, and that's the example that I like to give, that we make a mistake with those two things. And there's a huge difference. The spirit of the law is what the great creator has put into enactment for sustainability. So, yes, Scotty, we – It's I don't I don't really don't think that, you know, it's a matter of a disagreement that we have. It's just that exactions is a tort. And once you see that it's a tort, because that's what it always has been and that's what it always will be, that's what, you know, because if they took out that word exactions and they put felony, if they put in felonies of every kind and misdemeanor of every kind, because we're so familiar with felonies and misdemeanors, we would be like, ah, they trying to get over on us.
Now,
but
I'm
when they put in exactions,
you,
we weren't really familiar with it, and we didn't know that it's a tort.
I'm not disagreeing with you on the malicious intent of the government. For example, the Brown versus the Board of Education, which said that they're you know, separate is not equal, you know,
equal,
under the law. Now, the intent of the people who brought that case was not so that they can go to white schools. What was happening was is that everybody paying taxes, black and white paying taxes, the tax money was going to fund the white schools while the black schools was being neglected, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so this man didn't want his child to go to the dilapidated black school because he apparently lived in the jurisdiction of a school where it only had a white school. So he like, look, I'm paying taxes to this place, so my child ought to be able to go there. But what they did was how they rolled out, how they implemented Brown versus Board of Education was instead of equally funding the schools, was to close the black schools and fire the black teachers. So I'm with you on always being suspect of the federal government. My disagreement is just with the interpretation of that specific section of law, because I'm saying we have to look at use the definition of exaction within the context of it saying you being able to recover damages. And, you know, that's cool because, you know, I think we both in agreement that the corporation needs to be dissolved and we need something new.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. And that's the only thing that really, really matters. And you're absolutely right there. And because that's where we have to see that, okay, the system that they have, we know that the intent of that system is their creed and their deed never lines up. They try to come up with all of these different, you know, it sounds good and everything else, but you always know that there's a catch in there that they want to keep you right where you are. So yes, without a doubt. And OGL said contracts are not torts. Torts is a wrong without contract. Exactly. Yes. Yes. A tort is a willful wrong where it is a willful wrong. You made a mistake, but because of who you are and because of what you know, you should have known that this was creating a danger or a neglectful situation for someone other than you. It's not a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. It's a tort. Okay, but a tort is something that can be actually adjudicated in civil court. Okay, it's actually something that can be adjudicated in civil court. So if anyone has any other input, definitely give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Sorry about that. And would love to hear from you. So that is definitely something that is necessary. And, you know, we got another caller that's in queue. We got Brother Otis, I believe that is, that's there. Brother Otis, what's going on? What say you?
Hey, not a whole lot. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm doing more listening, but what I was going to add in, since we tend to follow up on things later, I posted it in BTR in your thread. And maybe Monday or Tuesday we can touch on it again.
Okay.
Black Offender Report actually did an article that doesn't seem like it's connected, but they were talking about the Poor People's March with Reverend Barber. And in that, they brought back the reason why nonviolent protests in America wasn't quite as space as we think it is. And it's connecting to what you're talking about, because it explains that the national security state, before there was the NSA, actually recruited this guy by the name of Gene Sharp, who was connected to the Quakers and was a nonviolent guy and all that. They actually recruited him and started a program connected with Harvard University to get people to go to nonviolent protests. And it all fits into the conversation you're having now. So I put it in there. You can listen to it. It also has an audio file that explains Sharp's whole history. So the U.S. government actually paid for the use of nonviolence as a protest mechanism.
Yeah.
I put it in
and
there.
And it's okay. I will definitely, we will definitely take a look at that. I will have to check that out, Otis. Just make sure, Otis, I'm going to probably, Otis, you have my number, because I wanted to talk to you about something else.
Yes, I do. Remember, I called you okay. back when I first started talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I will definitely check that out, and definitely need to do that. Let me real quickly. Great point, and I need to hear that so that I can familiarize myself with that. And I want to say, listen, Scotty is like we said. We both agree that this is, and Scotty interprets that, you know, differently. The word exaction differently, and that's totally fine. It's never about trying to make someone see the way that you see. But I know one thing is that if Scotty sees something some way, I know Scotty's intentions is aligned with my overall objectives as well. And we all have different methods. And so I just definitely wanted to say that. One key thing real quick, and I'm not laboring on this. One second. One of the biblical references to exactions is you can find it in Ezekiel 45, and it says in Ezekiel, take away your exactions from my people. And that, see, the U.S. knew what they were doing when they did that. They knew what they were absolutely doing, and it's there in Ezekiel where it says, take away your exactions from my people. And that's from Ezekiel 45. So that was some of the older, and I'm going to tell you, this goes back to the art of war. Sun Tzu has exactions in his books, in his book. And actually, in the quote in Sun Tzu, I can't exactly remember it right now, but it says that you'll be subject to the king's exactions. I'm paraphrasing it. If someone could look that up real quickly, that would be cool. So we have that, because
yeah, I'm aware of that scripture.
Very long history.
Yeah,
exactions has a very, very long history.
Because the people, the tribes, they were tribal people, the Hebrew people. I know a lot of people want to call them Jews, but we had to be careful about using Jews, because
right.
I'm not even going to go there, but the Bible talks about Hebrew people. It don't say nothing about no Jews. It say the Hebrew people. The Hebrew tribes wanted to be like the other nations and have a king. And
right. And
in the Bible, God told them, you don't want to be like the other nations, but I'm going to give you what you want.
Yep. And you're going to be subject to those exactions. Exactly. Moving on, if there's any other questions or comment, definitely give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. All right, so real quickly. All right, so now, great discussion. I we need those things, because I need to know what you know, you all, for me, because then I learn a whole lot more, and there's clarification, and I think you know, Jenna said, hey, Dave, you know, make it plain and say, you know, for us, you know, when you talk about different things. And I'm going to tell you, on public radio, I definitely do the best that I possibly can, but I don't try to invoke. I said that this was, you know, just my opinion, that you got to really read everything and know what all of those legal terms and what they really, really mean, and find the real intentions behind it, behind all of these things, because the ingredients is what makes us ill. It's the ingredients to different things that what make us ill. From the 13th Amendment, thinking that, you know, it's been abolished and everything else, and no, they always give a clause and have a sub setting to what they really want to do. And it sounds good, it sounds great, is the worst thing for us. And this is how they do our children as well. This is why they will draft, they create laws that they don't have to obey, they create debt that they don't have to pay, and they declare wars that they don't have to fight. And it's, you know, pretty a pretty extensive system that has been working for a very long time, because they know the overall psychological profile of people and how to domesticate them to their agenda, to where people will allow themselves to be dominated and to fall under dominionship of someone else. And that's what they do. So, okay, we're going to go into, let me check the board real quick, make sure that we have a caller in queue. So I think Jenna, you still there? Did you have something that you wanted to chime in on?
No, Dave. I'm just enjoying the show. You can just mute me, and then I just continue to listen. Appreciate this. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. My man, Scotty said, iron sharpens iron, Dave. Oh, without a doubt. my brother, what would I do without this platform and without everyone that's here? This is so, and it's healthy. It's something that we need to, because I learn, we learn, and then there comes where you look at things and say, okay, so where am I rolling with? Now it's going to cause you to do what? To look up stuff, to follow stuff. And that's what we really need to be doing, is we really need to be digging into these things instead of, you know, digging into the entertainment. We are entertained ad nauseam, and it's that our addiction to our entertainment really, really harms us in so many ways, because by doing that, it's very easy to get things past us that we won't otherwise notice if we were aware. So, all right, so wait, I think we had another caller out of Seattle. I don't know. Hassan, did you have something? You were there, and then I saw you, and then you were gone. Did you have a question or comment that you wanted to make?
Oh, yeah, my phone had. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Hassan. What's going on, brother? What say you?
What's going on, man? Yeah, my phone had died and hung up, and I just called back, and I just was like, man, forget it. I came in late and didn't know what was going on. I just heard 13th Amendment legally, lawfully, and you guys breaking stuff down. I said, let me chime in real quick, man. And I was, I also wanted to chime in. I'm 2 days late on my comments. Like, yesterday's show was good, and Brian Davis, I really love him there for what he was doing, because he was really talking some truth on Wednesday with the food and stuff. But, yeah, I was kind of lost, so I decided, I was like, you know what, I ain't going to say nothing about today. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just heard terms that was right up my alley, but I said, you know what, I don't even know where y'all at, so let me just...
Nah, man, but we're glad that you would go back and listen and check it out. And of course, at any time, you know how this show goes. If there's something that you all want to talk about, we'll do that. I try to keep it within the confines of what the show that I prepared for, but we don't always get to do that, which is cool.
Right.
Because, yeah, check it out. And if you had a comment about it, then definitely, you know, chime in at the appropriate time or when you see fit, man.
Right. That will do.
For sure. All right. So check this out. What I wanted to do is that, I wanted to look at, and I wanted to say, let me pull this up real quick. There's an article. How much time we got? Before we go into the last commercial break, there was an article And then I guess because of the last, we're getting ready to come up to the last break. What I do want to say is that everyone take notice, because right now, if you're hearing what's being said about these tariffs and the steel and the aluminum, you have Canada went ham today, Mexico, and the EU. And what all of the, what's happening is that now Canada, Mexico, and the EU are coming together, and they said that they're going to retaliate against the U.S. Now, I do anticipate that this whole thing is going to subside a little and is going to have pullback. But never, ever lower your guard to what they're really doing, because this is now the overall momentum and the direction that the rest of the world is going to continue to do. As Trump starts to put different tariffs and then sanctioning different governments, look at the overall governments that are being sanctioned and why they're being sanctioned. If you look at the devil in the details, it's because they were the ones that were dropping the dollar. So now it is a inadvertent or asymmetrical attack on them by using the plausible deniability of something else. And what I mean by that is that they're using a diversionary tactic. See, they're saying the real reason why the U.S. is attacking Germany and attacking the U.K. Remember when the U.K. went and told Obama, no, we're not going to go for a bomb in Syria? Well, also when the Cyprus banking debacle happened and they allowed the Russian oligarchs to get all of their assets and their money and their currency out of the Cyprus banks. You know who was the ones that pushed that? It was Britain. And you know that caused a lot of problems, because Britain and the UK, Britain and Russia have a black market economy that Britain benefits from immensely. And Britain, remember, Britain was the first one to bond, to actually allow a bond market, or to establish a clearinghouse for Chinese bonds. What was Chinese bonds going to be doing in the future? How about the petro yuan? So now the U.S. knows, oh, so you're underhandedly helping them destroy our dollar, and which is what they're really doing. Now, why would Britain be doing that? Here's why. Because the original banking institution of subjugation and enslavement comes from the city. And that's known, the city is in the financial world is commonly referred to as the city, but they're talking about one of the four city states in the world known as the City of London. It's not London, it's the city inside of London known as London City. And they have a strong cultist relationship with the demonic entities, and they have the overall strong influences of the secret societies. That's where they were able to come together and to put into practice the economic subjugation of the world. It was done by the city known as the City of London, which was revolutionized by Christopher Wren, the architect. Rebuilt the cathedral and rebuilt the overall City of London and rebuilt the secret societies and revolutionized them to go into the what we know now as some of the controlling asset entities of the world that definitely subjugate in the global economy. So very, very important. Hey, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. So, and before we get out of here, man, because time definitely flies, what I would want to say is that, hey, everyone, please be aware of how things are being put together and sculpted in the geopolitical world. And if you look at it, the momentum is that whenever you hear the word America first, that is codified language to and make America great. And you have to look at, well, what made, in their perception, what made America great? And there was a couple of things that are, in my opinion, is very, very significant. Number one is manifest destiny. Number two is the overall stealing and by force and by fear, which is by robbery, people's energy to serve their overall purpose. Meaning in subjugation and enslavement, by force and by fear. So whenever you hear someone, a celebrity or anybody else, kind of try to diminish that, never forget the whole thing was done by force and by fear. And force and by fear is a crime. It's a crime against humanity, is a crime against individuals. Is where you have a malevolent intention for someone else just because you have more cash, just because you have more weaponry. That doesn't make you right. It just makes you to where you can actually invoke violence on someone, but it doesn't make you right. And the U.S. was able to have its so-called greatness is because it created, it was a part of manifest destiny. It was a part of subjugating people throughout the globe, taking their resources to engorge themselves, to enrich themselves, both by assets, and then from those assets, once they had those assets, they were able to wrap them into something that they call currency, a piece of paper that had no value at all. They were able to wrap that and bundle that into, while they held the assets, they created a debt system that could be leveraged against their assets by just a piece of paper receipt. And it was all fraud. Because what was taken away was the bartering system. You trade one asset for another asset. You need corn, I give you corn, and you give me something that I need. I need water, or I need timber. It was an equitable, fair exchange, an asset for an asset. But what they did was that they were able to utilize the energy that they were stealing from people, and this is the energy that they were stealing from people. They were sending people into the fields, and they were sending people into the economy to build and structure out their wealth without paying them for it. And Salmon P. Chase knew that by doing that, creating, because the bankers and the bankers of London already knew that, and they tried to do that to the U.S. government, and the U.S. government said, no, you're not going to do that to us because we know the difference. We're not your slave, but we'll allow you to enslave everybody here. This is why the civil rights and all this other stuff goes back to 1866. There's nothing new. They've been wanting to put this to put this against people from the very beginning, because they made a deal with the overall bankers. We won't accept cash, but we'll make them do it. And that's what we have. And that's what we have now. And this has been conceptualized to our own demise. So when you hear that, make America great, Then there was another very important part of making America great, is when they took two nuclear devices, an act of terrorism, and dropped it on Japan. The innocent people of Japan, that took everyone in the world took notice that there was a new bully on the block. And see, if you ever look up the word terrorism, it is there for using violence for political or social gain. Using violence for political or social gain is basically what it means. So when they dropped those two bombs, those two atomic bombs in Japan, the whole world took notice and they said, we don't want none of that. So whatever they came up with after that, by force and by fear, the whole world had to accept, because they couldn't stand up against that type of weaponry. So they, when you talk about the axis of evil and they talk about terrorism, they were the ones, the U.S. government was the ones that put that into full-fledged motion by what they did to Japan. And don't give me that there was a war between Japan. That's the excuse that they try to justify their evilness for. See, and that made America great, because now everybody had to bow down economically, geopolitically, and socially to the United States. So whenever you hear them say, talk about make America great, that is codified language. See, and the rest of the world is aware of that. Even though I do firmly believe that governments are in one big fraternity together against us, the general population of the world. And that now is being purposely spoke about, because what it does is that it ignites the wrong that people know, because they realize we can get over on people because we're stronger and everything else, and yeah, bow down on us. And it actually activates an evil seed that has been deeply planted. And it germinates and it grows, and then it bears fruit. And all of the fruit that it bears is to lie, cheat, and steal and destroy all others to maintain that overall positioning. Is an entitlement, a sense of entitlement, an immoral sense of entitlement. So don't be fooled by that, and a lot of that is going to continue to expand, and you're going to see this more. It's going to swell, and it's going to come back in and grow bigger, and until finally it goes where they want it to go. This trade war stuff may die down for a minute, but believe me, the workings behind closed doors is ramping up so much more, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a false flag somewhere real soon. But listen, we got another caller in queue I want to go to out of South Carolina. Welcome, caller out of South Carolina. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, and what is your question or comment?
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
My brother, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend. What's going on, Brother Davis? What say you?
Brother, I'm going to tell you, there are so many different connections that are involved in this. And for those of you who don't know, let me give you some quick synopsis. All of these here masonry organizations, these Freemasons and all those there, these are all connected with these so-called secret societies. Are you ready? All of these frats and these fraternities, these are also right. Another attribute of these same secret societies. What they don't tell you is they have to pledge their soul to become a part of these societies. Now, they don't tell you the mission of the society. Why? Because they serve what's called third-party financing. What's a third-party financing? The Federal Reserve is a third-party financing. You see, we as taxpayers, we make the money. The government should literally make the money and distribute it. That would be two parties. But since there's a third party, and this is originally the Rothschilds' financial concept, or their philosophy, in order to perpetuate the evil mission that's being perpetuated on the people right now. So the reason why I'm pointing this out to you is because I want you to see how insidiously and deep-seated that this goes. So you can't for 1 minute think that there are certain people that you can literally trust because they are educated or whatever. Those are the people they wanted to be in their organizations in the very beginning. I just wanted to add that, Brother Dave. Excellent, as usual. A great show. Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Well said, as always. So, yeah, we have a. I really want us to be aware of the potential that was gained of the past from these types of systems. But the real potential that we have as individuals is that we have a choice. Is this something that is in our best interest? Is this something that we want to further engage in? Is this something that we... Is this something that we want to give energy to? Is there something that we want to change? And I would say that individually, we can do much, but collectively together, we can do a whole lot more. A whole lot more. And that's what's really going to take. And it's not one way, one leader. That is what the system has taught us to do. And we actually need to have, because I'm only able to see this much. My talents are only able to reach this far. But if we all collectively put all of our talents and ability together, the overall reach will be endless. And we can look at this system as an example of what consideration, what an agreement can do, and how powerful an agreement of a few. You know, you always hear about the few control many, but that word few and many is subjective. A few to you is not a few to me, or many to you is not many to me. But what we do know is that the influence that this system has over us is great, and is not in our best interest, in my opinion, in many of you and others, that it is in our best interest going forward either. So now it comes up to, what's some of the things that we can really meaningfully do? And this is why I really do think that a leaderless sit down or a leaderless move out or refuse to participate is extremely powerful. Because one of the things that I definitely think would gain much, but it will be problematic as well, but one of the things that I think that it will gain much traction, and the traction is not to show the system how powerful we are, because the system already knows how powerful we are. That's why they have to come up with delusionary tactics to keep us from seeing that. They have to come up with facades. They have to come up with mirages. They have to put blinders in front of us so that we won't know. They have to distort the mirror on the wall. They have to distort that mirror to project the image that they want you to see. And that image is you being beholden and obedient to the God in which they trust. And at some point and at some time, it should come to where we're fed up with everything. And I tell you, the most powerful thing that we can do, in my opinion, is to have a leaderless movement where we stop engaging in the system for 3 days, 4 days, a week, or a month. And you could prepare for that before. And have no leader, a totally leaderless movement. So that if anybody says that they're speaking for the people and for what they want, that's a lie. Because the most powerful thing that we could do is say that no matter what the system offers us, it is to our demise to negotiate with the demonic entities or the evil that is hidden on a table that's unevenly yoked. Make no compromise, make no deal. If we make no compromise and make no deal, what does their cash mean to us? But money is always relevant. Food is a form of money. The sun is a form of money. Our relationships is a form of money. Very, very important. And without that type of, until we get to the point, and that may be a point that we get to that point where a million of us is lost in because of wars, until where we finally say, hold on, wait up, we've been had here. I don't know how many times I was taught, and as I grew older, you know, when I was a child, I had childhood dreams. And then I start to do some of those childhood dreams, and I realize that dreams have a way of becoming nightmares, and nightmares have a way of becoming reality. And then I started to have adult. An adult movement. And that adult movement is not about, it's about the overall prosperity that we want to see forward. It's not about me individually, is about us collectively. What are we seeding? So it may become to a point where, because of a war or because of an economic calamity, how many people you think in Venezuela realize that they've been had, and that they wish, oh my goodness, I wish I could go back 10, 15 years ago. What would they be doing different now? What would they be preparing for? What would their overall conversation be daily? What would their relationship with everyone around them be? It would be an opportunity to galvanize the overall people and move in a direction before the storm comes. But the great thing about the relentless human spirit is that it is relentless. And it generally moves when at the last second. And because the power of it is so strong, it can move in a different direction. So it may take a war, it may take an economic collapse. It's going to take more than Eric Gardner saying, I can't breathe, for us to realize that we haven't been breathing either. So if we sit down, don't negotiate, don't give terms, don't give demands, don't ask for anything, then what can be compromised? And more importantly, what payoff and what bribe can be pushed for us to get back to work, get back to where we were before, get back to obeying? So this is just a thought that I would like, that I wanted to share with you all. And I just want to say much love, much respect. I want to thank all the callers that called in today. My man, Jenna, Scotty, great, great, great show, brother. Everyone listen back to this show, and check it out. Brother Davis, and Hassan called in. My man Mel called in. So greatly appreciate all of you. Hey, everyone, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African...